Disclaimer: this episode contains strong language and adult themes, so if you're not about that, it's probably time you disconnect. Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of Musings of a Tired Nigerian Girl. Let's get into it. Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of Musings of a Tired Nigerian Girl. It's been a minute. I haven't uploaded anything in 2 weeks. I took a break, a very much needed break. We're going to have 2 episodes before the end of the year, God willing, and that then we'll be going on a break until January, probably mid-January. I'm not going to use this episode to reflect because I feel like that would probably, it's better for that to be in another video entirely. And so I'm just going to use this episode to just chat to you guys about some things, and maybe I'll do my own personal reflection at the end, because the next episode is not just going to be me. So, and I want to have like a solitary kind of reflection with you guys. My head is still working. If I don't get to do that at the end of this episode, that means at the end of the other episode, I would put in my own personal, like, solo reflection, if I may. So, I was able to check my Spotify Wrap. I should probably, like, check it as we go. I want to talk about that a bit, probably sometime before the end of this episode. But generally speaking, how are you guys doing? Welcome back. I hope you guys missed me. I have been good. Alhamdulillah. Actually, I have not been good, but still, alhamdulillah. Things have been, I feel like I'm going through a big change in my life. So the issue now is transitioning and getting my head around new developments and new normal, if that makes sense. Next year is coming, like we all know. There are a few things that you can, I feel like one thing I've really learned this year is that you can't really, you can plan, but not everything is within your power, if that makes any sense. So, when I do my solitary, like, reflections and stuff, I might talk about New Year resolutions and whatnot. But yeah, the end of the year is coming, and yeah, talking about New Year resolutions and them things, I have been reading a lot. I feel like I really have been reading a lot. But I think I am more or less like obsessively reading, if that makes sense. Like, I have particular authors I like, and I find that I just keep being lost in their source. I feel like I just keep being lost in their source. So early this year, I met a friend. It's the most organic way of meeting somebody, I guess, in 2023. So I met this girl. She's Indian. I met her on Instagram, and I met her in the comment section, I met her in the comment section. So how we met was, you know these little reels, like if you're into books and Bookstagram on Instagram and stuff like that, you would see these little reels that they make of books, maybe a hot part or spicy part or really cute part in the book, and there'll be like music and whatnot, and this like characters that these people that look like what the characters would be and stuff like that. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. So I was under one of those. I saw one of those. It was a Saturday morning. I saw one of those little Instagram reels, and it was very spicy. But in the comment section, I was like, okay, because I do this thing where I just check the comments. I don't know why. Why do I check comments? I want to see who think like me, probably. I just check comments all the time. So I go to check the comments, and I see this person talking about how, I can't be bothered to go and screenshot what she said, but I'll summarize. So she was talking about how, okay, like, she's tired of reading smut, and she wants to read organic books, and she just can't read smart anymore. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, somebody finally, somebody gets me. So when, around that time, that was, I think, maybe March, April, I was done with smuts. Oh my God, I read so much smuts. It's just like, oh my God, what the hell? What happened to the organic romance novels? What happened to those ones that make you think about love and falling in love and wanting to build a family? I'm meeting your soulmate. What happened to them once? It's just about some billionaire and he, like, she has mind-blowing sex and she has a baby. It's always about, oh God, it's always sexual material. And no problem, you can put, like, a little spice in novels, but, God, there are some books that I started, I never finished. Honestly, I can't even remember their names. That I was like, oh, I'm bored. Let me look for something clean to read. Like, well, not clean, but let me look for something to just pass time. And I'm reading, I'm like, oh my God, it's like you're reading porn. What the hell? So finding somebody that actually felt the same way I felt was really cool. Because, I don't know, social media kind of makes, especially Instagram, kind of makes you think that everybody's just after some, everybody needs to be in the psych ward. Like, everybody needs to meet a therapist. Because, I feel like, especially Instagram and the bookstagram people, everybody's lost in the source of, what's the name of this stupid book? Hunting Adeline. I would never get that book. I'm all for morally grey characters. And me personally, I feel like nobody knows morally grey. You may disagree, but nobody does morally grey for me like LJ Shen. Just because I feel like it's the perfect dose of a grey character, like bad, but still capable of good and nice and whatnot. For me, I know it's bad, but no character has really given me the shingles like Sam Brennan from her Boston Belle series. That is LJ Shen. He's so morally great. Like, I have to just tell myself, Higma, don't look at it. Like, this nigga be killing people. He a mafia lord. He be killing people. But that is what a morally great character should look like. Not Zayd Meadows. The fucking rapes somebody with a gun and stalks her and rapes her continuously and humiliates her and kill people and bring her boxes of people's hands, people's fingers. Like, what the fuck? If you haven't guessed already, this episode is quite explicit. But yeah. Oh my God, that book was terrible. Hunting Adeline was so terrible. I had to go on Goodreads to give my opinion. Like, do you know, I'm the most minding my business, sipping on some coffee, minding my business girl you can ever meet. But I had to. I felt like I'm doing the world a service. I had to go on Goodreads. I had to find this book and just give my 2 cents. Because what the actual fuck? That book is too terrible. Oh my God. Honestly, I genuinely believe that anybody that read that book, I love it. All of you people need to be, like, y'all need to talk to somebody. Because you have issues. I know that, like, if you're a book girly, they talk about how, like, oh yeah, we don't fantasize about stuff like that. We just read. It's a lie. It's a fucking lie. You fantasize about stuff like that. It's a different thing. You want someone to choke you. But no, not that you want somebody to come and rape you and murder you. Like, I feel like, oh, I can't just. You read books to get lost, yeah? But reading Hunting Adeline and loving it. And actually, that like, putting that book on a pedestal says a lot to me about you. Like, I'm not judging you, but I really believe you need to see a therapist ASAP. So yeah, back to my friend, my Instagram friend. We ended up bonding on Instagram off of the fact that we are done with reading smut and we wanted to read some organic romance novels. Me personally, honestly, I've been reading romance novels for the longest time now because I feel like it's just something easy to read. Like, I didn't start reading romance novel when I started reading books. My first ever book in this life was Sydney Sheldon because, yeah, I'm an uni girl. And I read all, like, my house was full of, my dad's library is full of, like, Sydney Sheldon books, John Grisham. Like, those are the things I grew up reading. So, like, my head was on thriller, some murder mystery, some, like, that's the shit I grew up reading. But, I grew up, life became hard. Things were happening. My mental health was in the balance. And sometimes I just don't want to read books that make me think. You know, like, if you're reading stuff like mystery and everything, your head is hot and you're, like, on high alert. Sometimes I just want to read words. It's not that serious. I'm not looking for Prince Charming. It's very easy to read romance. Like, you can even fast forward. Yes, I do that. I fast forward book pages because it's like, okay, I know what's happening. It's so predictable. Let's go. Like, I'm just trying to read and not really get lost in the source. So, yeah, that's why I've been reading romance novels for now. And anyways, let me not cut to the end. But yeah, we bonded and she was telling me how, like, oh yeah, she's done reading Smart and whatnot. And I'm like, oh yeah, say me too. And I was like, do you have anything to recommend to me? And she recommends me Cheat Sheet by Sarah Adams. And it's a romance novel. It's very sweet. Like, it's cute. It's the cutest book you can ever pick up. Like, it's about these two friends who have been best friends for the longest time. He a jock. I think he plays some kind of sports. See, don't bite me. This has been a minute. He do some hockey. Or, no. He do some football. Or something like that. He's stinking rich. She is just mid in terms of finances, but she's his best friend and he has been dating people and he keeps putting them before her. And she's secretly in love with him and he's secretly in love with her. I didn't know that part. Yes, this is spoilers ahead, by the way. So if you're probably listening, you probably wouldn't read the book anyways. So let me tell you, let me give some gist. So yeah, she is in love with him. You don't even know this, but he's also in love with her. But they both think, okay, this would never happen. The other person would probably never feel this way about me. He's been dating like girls, some girly girls like that, and she's quite like tomboyish as well. And in like the third page or the end of first chapter, I realize we come to find out that he also loves her. And so they made a cheat sheet, him and his mates, about how, like, okay, this is how he's going to try and get her to fall in love with him. Things happened in the middle that just made me to be punching my bed in the middle of the night. This girl kept me awake, like 2 a.m. I was screaming into my pillows because why are you so stupid? But anyways, it was quite sweet. So they made a cheat sheet and come to find out that she actually also felt the way he felt. That book should have ended in two chapters. It should have just confessed. And she also confessed and they'll move on. But yeah, it's so sweet. Like, it's so sweet and so clean. No sex scene. Like, it's the sweetest book, honestly. It's so sweet. And I feel like for me, that would make it enter my list. I should do an episode rating books I've read this year. Oh my God, yes. Yes. Also, I feel like this podcast is about to be like book infused because I am going to be reading a lot of books. My sister is doing this challenge for next year and I think I'm going to hop on it. Going to try and beat the challenge. So yeah, if you want to read 10 books a week, what the fuck? If you want to read 10 books a month, you should let's do this. 120 books next year by the end of December, inshallah. I'm a morally great character. But anyways, yeah, 120 books by the end of the year. Let's see what we do. But yeah, a lot of things happen in between and the book is so sweet. Like I said. So yeah, it's going to go into my top 10 just because of that. She also recommended another one by Sarah Adams. So by the way, for those of you guys who don't know what smut is basically sexual material. Like, let me see if I can find the Urban Dictionary definition because they'll be telling you what it is, how it is. Anyways, I can't find Urban Dictionary in my phone. Anyways, smut definition and meaning, Bertie Kana Dictionary. Language pictures, a story that deals with sex in a way that is offensive, apparently. I don't know about offensive, but yeah, it's just a lot of that. And so yeah, I stopped reading that. It gets too much, do you get? Like, it gets too much. Sometimes it's like there's no need for smut. Like, the storyline, you're reading a book and it has a really sweet storyline. And there's no need for us to know what they do when the scene ends. Just talk about the cuteness and let us move. But no, they'll be lost in the sort of showing us smut. Sarah Adams. So, and I read another one by Sarah Adams, which was equally sweet, but it didn't do it for me, like, Cheat Sheet. I can't, you see, for me to not even remember the name. I'm not going to try and find it. But yeah. Anyways, I feel like now, you guys should read Cheat Sheet. It's the sweetest book ever. I can't remember what the book name is. I am on, maybe it was not by Sarah Adams. The Match, that's the name. The Match, I think. Yeah, I'm saying that off of Goodreads because I see this book with the woman who has a dog and the guy who has a child. So I most definitely think it's the book. It says sometimes love finds you when you least expect it. Yeah, it's the book. Ah, Southern Service Paws. So she has this guide dog and she trains them, and he is a single dad and he has a cute daughter. And yeah, the book was equally sweet and quite clean as well. It's those books that just make you smile and blush while you read, you know? That's why I quite like Sarah Adams. So yeah. I'm also thinking of restarting my Goodreads to be like when I read a book, I'll go to Goodreads and actually review, because I do read a lot of books that I do review on Goodreads. So when you see me on Goodreads like lashing out, I'll be looking. You know, the other day when I finished insulting one book I read, or like, let me not say insulting, but like giving it a proper review, I looked at my page and I'm like, oh, somebody will think that this guy don't be reading shit, because it just has like, I've read 4 books. Meanwhile, this year, I'm pretty sure I've read more than 100 books this year. I've been reading, and now that I'm quite jobless, I'm reading on steroids. So yeah, I think I would do a review of like some books I've read and what I think about them for you guys if you're interested. Actually, I'm just going to do it. So yeah. So yeah, but anyways, right now I'm quite lost in the source of reading what I like, and I've been on LJ Shen's Don't Mind Jasmine. I've been on steroids. Like, I've been reading LJ Shen. I have been reading LJ Shen. Like, I've been reading it for weeks now. And do you know the thing? I've never been one of those people, but I totally get it now. You know how you watch like series, and you would be like waiting on it to come out, and you know when season 2 is coming out, and you even know everything about it, and maybe you follow the page on Instagram. By the way, I am one of them people. What do you call them? I don't know. Some people call me geek. I don't know if that's what it is. But let me tell you, I will follow the page on Instagram. I will follow the, like, I digress. But can we talk about why they cancelled Shadow and Bone? The film is actually quite nice. The series is quite nice. It's just they don't have a nice budget, I think, because yeah. But that book has potential. Like, the series has potential, and it's quite nice. And oh my God, Nina Matthias, are you kidding me? So yeah, I follow the page on Instagram, and I follow Nina Matthias, their real life on Instagram, and I know when everything is coming out. Like, I'm one of them girls. When Wheel of Time came out, like, you, I was following Wheel of Time on Instagram. I knew when it dropped. On the day it dropped, I went for it. I watched every single thing. I came and did a review. Like, I feel those things in my soul. Like, when, what do you call it? The Witcher. When The Witcher came out, oh my God. I'm one of those people that would, like, go on Instagram and be like, shall we? You know, Elijah Michelson, when he shall we? Yeah, that's me. He's going, oh my God! Yo, I'm psychotic. But anyways, yeah, so I totally lost my train of thoughts, which is like me. Anyways, I'm on Goodreads now, and I think I'm going to start reviewing books, because when I just finish reviewing a book, I just feel like somebody will be like, oh, this girl have a lot to say, and then they'll go to my page and I don't read like 4 books in the year. Meanwhile, I've been reading like 100+ books that I never like go to edit, that I never go to review. So yeah, that's what I want to do. One of my next year goals: become a savage in my life. Bam. I only know, oh, I have 12 friends on Goodreads. How? Oh wow. Anyways, in my life I only met one person as eccentric as I am, like, if I can say so myself. And her name is Hafsa. I met her on Instagram. You know how, like, you meet somebody who is your inner, like, who you are inside, but they are that outside. It's always fascinating to me. I feel like I grew up holding back a lot of things, and I have to hold back because I'm not normal. When I tell people I'm not normal, they think I'm just talking. I am not a normal person. When I say that, I mean, like, if I blurt out, like, what exactly is on my mind, I can start some wars and nobody want to talk to me. Well, I'm not savage, like, I'm not malicious. I'm just I am a roller coaster ride. So when I met this girl on Instagram, and exactly what I was thinking, I don't know what I was watching. It was a very bad thing. It's like somebody coming to talk about
somebody displayed a talent they clearly did have. And I go to the comment section and I see this girl that's like, please never do this again. I'm like, oh my God, yes, my spirit animal. So I met her and come to find out that she reads books a lot. And then I go to Goodreads. There's this book I was talking about that I read on Instagram back when I used to like come and talk to you guys randomly about like, oh, I read this book and this book's shit. So I said I read the book and she was like, I should check out her Goodreads review. And oh my God, she was savage. She was so savage. And she just said, if I can say to myself, this girl was bear trolling, but she was right. Everything she said, I agree. I stand by. So I decided, you know what? I'm just going to live my life like that. Authentic and savage. If you have a problem with it, fuck off. I'm sorry. Like, actually, I'm not sorry. But yeah. Most definitely fuck off. So that's also how I'm going to live my life next year. And honestly, why not? You know, why not? So yeah, talking about books. Again, I lost my train of thought. But yeah, now I'm thinking of The Witcher. Are you guys excited for the next season? I feel like everybody that was like, oh, we're not going to watch it because Harry Cavill is no more The Witcher. We're probably going to watch the first episode. I most definitely watch the first two episodes because I want to see the cringiness of this Hemsworth acting. Oh God, the image just came up in my head and it's just not, I'm sorry, it's not giving the that Harry gave. And I feel like in as much as everybody was like, oh, we're not gonna watch it because Harry Cavill, we're gonna boycott it. Nah, we're definitely going to watch it. You guys will watch it, even if to watch it and sub the Hemsworth. Yeah, so I am not looking forward to it because honestly I watched that shit for Harry. I don't give a shit about any other person. Harry Cavill was the reason why I watched The Witcher. I mean, it had a good storyline. Actually, an awesome storyline. But now I have the books. So why am I going to waste my time? Because the main candy that was the reason why I was watching is no more there. Might as well read the book and keep my memory of him alive in my head. Like, if I'm reading the book and I'm imagining The Witcher, I'm not thinking of the Hemsworth. I'm thinking of Harry. So, most definitely. But I'm just going to watch the first episode because I'm curious. I just hope that I don't become a betrayer. I end up watching the whole thing. But honestly, why am I going to watch it? Siri, she's not that great of a reason. It was the Yennefer, okay, but she's not that badass of a reason either. Who again? The Hugh guy who became bad. What's his name? Vilgefortz. Well, I may, but. I mean, it was Harry Cavill.
So for some reason, I was saying Harry Cavill. I mean, Henry, the original sugar daddy. Yeah.
Anyways, I had a lot of books in my, what do you call the thing? I had a lot of books in my iBooks, but then I had to like get rid of them unwillingly. And now I don't have so much books. So, I told you guys my plan for next year, yeah? To read a shit ton of books. Now, I wanted to do this little review. I remember I was talking to you guys about how, like, I keep reading what I like to read and how I was on a LJSN trip. And that made me to start talking about... See, sorry, you guys. This is who I am. I think you know me by now. That made me to start talking about the Wheel of Time and The Witcher and stuff like that. So what I was trying to say is I have become one of those people that keep up to date with books. Like, of authors. There are some authors that I honestly, like, I wait for the next book, especially when it's in a series. You don't really know when the next book in a standalone, like, if she's in a standalone vibe, you don't know when the next book comes. It comes when it comes, except she starts marketing. So, like, except your author is like, okay, this book is going, my next book is coming out, so. And I feel like for me personally, it doesn't give me incentive to be waiting for you to release a random book that I don't know because it's a random book and I'm not following the storyline. But when it's a book about, like, in a series, where I know that their lives are connected and whatnot, it makes me to, like, give a shit. Sorry, meat is stuck in my teeth. Yeah, but it makes me to, like, give a shit and start looking for when is the next one coming. Case in point, Anna Huang's, what's the name of the series? It's not King of Sin, is it? Let me check. Anna Huang, The Greed series, yeah? King of Greed. I don't know what it's called. Let me just check. Anna Huang. I don't know if I'm saying that right, by the way. I'm sorry if I'm not. I hate the Twisted series. Oh my god. I started reading the Twisted and it was terrible. Oh my god, what? The storyline was just the writing was bad. I think she wrote that book when she just started writing or something, because the writing was not, it was not really giving. I'm sorry, Anna. I really love your book, but that writing was not giving. The Twisted series was shit. Or rather, let me just say the Twisted, because I didn't read any of the other ones. But the Twisted was, ugh. So, King of Sin. I'm right. Kings of Sin series. So, I read King of Greed last. So, the next book, King of Sloth, is coming out. And I'm so excited. Like, I don't know when I became this person that is, like, keeping up with books and keeping up with authors. And when the next book is coming out. I've never been the type. It's not even a thing. Like, whoever thought, like, okay, we're going to start waiting for books to drop. Not me, but here I am, because that's what I've been doing. I've been binge reading. So, Anna Hang is the author of Twisted Love. Yeah? I hated that book. I didn't even read it finish. Honestly, I feel like the character was immature. But she was trying to make him mature too hard. Like, he was, how old was he? His friend was in the same, like, they were in uni, yeah? Something like that. So it didn't make sense how, oh yeah, she's trying to make him like this mature boy, but he's like 22. If he was even up to that. And the whole my brother's friend trope, you have to write it a certain way for it to hit. I don't know. You just have to write it a certain way. You can't just my brother's friend and so the brother's not around and all of a sudden... No, it don't work like that. I feel like that trope is a very shaky trope. People think it's quite easy to write and make it appealing. But I disagree with that. Me personally, I hated Twisted Love. So maybe I'll try Twisted Games and Twisted Hate and Twisted Lies and all them Twisted things. But Twisted Love was the first one. I never finished, honestly, and I don't think I am going to. On Goodreads, it has 3.73 reviews, which really means 2.5 on Goodreads, as far as I'm concerned, because some people, y'all don't have taste. Y'all just read anything and come and be talking about, oh my God, so sweet, so good. But yeah, this 3.73, probably I'm going to say is like 2.70. So yeah, I just know. But King of Wrath series, like the King of Sin, Kings of Sin, I quite liked. Oh, let me I didn't mean this episode to be a review, but let's go. You see this Kings of Sin, King of Wrath was quite nice. I'm beginning to forget a bit, but it's quite nice. But it was quite nice. King of Pride, okay, yeah, let's go. That nice looking British looking nerd. Yeah, I like good boys that are actually bad. Yeah, rather than bad boys that become good because of you. I think my thing is good boys that are actually bad. That's another story for another day. Or is it bad boys that are good for you? I don't know. King of Greed, I read last. You see, King of Greed is supposed to be a grovel trope. But the groveling was not groveling. He didn't even suffer. Like, he really did not suffer. He got her back on the platter of gold, as far as I'm concerned. Actually, no, I'm not going to do a review. I'm going to do a special review and title it King of Greed or Kings of Sin and go for it. But yeah, so now I'm one of those girls and it's nice. I'll tell you guys how I was obsessed with LG Shen and I've been reading LG Shen and I finished, God, what's the name of this book? Nedge, is it Nedge? Is she Nedge? God, I forgot. Painted Scars. Who wrote Painted Scars? Let's do a quick dive. Painted Scars. Are you guys excited for the new year, by the way? Never Altage. You see that Painted Scars? Oh my days. I have a lot to say about this thing. That's what made me go back to Goodreads. I went to trash one of them books. Because what the hell? It's so cringe. Like, and you know the thing? I felt so embarrassed because I recently joined a book club. And when they were like, okay, what books have you read this year? See me there saying, oh my God, I read, what do you call the thing? I read Never Altage, like, that series. just for me. And by the time I was bragging about this book, I hadn't finished reading. You see, that's another thing. If you're OG, like, review, read, reading girl, never brag about a book before you finish. Never. It's just like a man. But yeah, I'm not going to go into that. Never brag about a book before you finish, because, oh my God, I felt so embarrassed. I felt the embarrassment in my soul, because as soon as I was bragging about, oh, I've read these books this year, that was one of the books I was like, oh yeah, I read the series, just for me to finish the book like 2 days after, and I'm like, oh my God, it's the grace of God that made me to not go back to WhatsApp and delete my comment, because I'm so embarrassed. The book is not booking, and I'm going to give a review as well when I come to give you girls and boys my review. I'm going to tell you why this book is shit. That book was too terrible, and I had to go back to Goodreads to give it a, because I was so upset. I'm always so upset when somebody makes me book reading book. It's not an easy feat. I'm ingesting. Like, if I was watching movies are never that serious. One or two or three movies in my life have gone to my heart, but like, when I watch movie, I'm not ingesting it into my, like, spiritual, like, I don't know if you know, but like, I'm not ingesting it into my soul. Reading, on the other hand, first of all, I'm not a reader who reads out. I read in. So I just feel like I'm ingesting the book into my spirit. And for me to ingest such a terrible book, I feel offended. It's just like when I was reading that book about the something of the opera. What do you call the thing? That opera place. Of the opera. Phantom of the Opera. I was reading a book that had a Phantom of... Oh my God, that book was so terrible. So, I'm so upset. It was so terrible. I had to go on Instagram to trash it. Because why the hell? Like, I'm sorry. And see, but see, I'm running my mouth, so it's not as if I finished my own book. When I not finish my own book, now somebody come and stop my hard work. But anyways, today I am not a published author, so I will go for it. That book was bad. Not Phantom of the Opera. I can't remember what the book was. The book name was, but it was about the Phantom of the Opera and how, like, this girl inherited this opera house and her dad died, and there was this dude who wanted to marry her by fire, by force, and unknown to her, in the opera house, there was this ghost man living there. It was a rumor, but he was actually living there. Something happened to him. I think it was an illegitimate child or something of the opera's house first owners, and he was like, he had a deformity on his face, or he was in a fire or something and his face got burnt, so he can't come out to normal society. This book is set in the olden days, well, not so olden days, but like in the 1800s, and so he couldn't come out of the opera. He lived in the opera house, and he would come out maybe at night. Plus the opera house was it had this network of, like, a catacomb kind of, like, network of vaults and tunnels and whatnot. So that's how he moved through the opera house, and he lived somewhere in the walls. So she bought the opera house. As soon as she bought the opera house, something happened, and then her dad died. So when she bought the opera house, this dude didn't want her to be there. He wanted to ghost the house till they were forced to leave. That was what happened to the previous owners, several previous owners. He basically tormented them till they were too scared to even run the opera house. But when she got it, she was determined that she's not going to do this. Tell me why this dude, this man, have kidnapped this girl in the middle of the night and take her to the walls and chain her to a bed and try to bully her into the house. And this idiot girl was released only for her to continue living the opera house. I trust me, I will have demolished the fucking thing. Calling the police and the search and SWAT team. Who do you think you are? Some things happen in the book. I hate when books are not realistic. Like, if I want to watch something unrealistic, I would watch animation. Yeah, I watch animation. But, like, why am I reading a book and it's still, like, and the thing is, I'm quite a logical reader. Like, I'm a logical person, and I feel like that's why I don't get scared for horror films and stuff. And it's not a good way to live, because it's very hard for someone like me to get lost in the source. When other people are lost in the source and having be happy, I'm never naive about things like that. My brain does not process it. So when I'm watching something or I'm reading something and it doesn't make sense why it's like that, I'm kind of those people that get stuck on why it's not making sense. Why? Because I watched this horror film and the person, the thing that was supposed to be doing the haunting, he looked like fucking Teletubbies. And why people that was watching me were scared. I'm like, are you serious? You people couldn't get a better costume. I'm one of the people. I'm one of the people. I'm just lost in the fact that people have moved on and are actively scared about this horror film and laughing and, you know, getting the chills in the cinema. And me, I'm there like, are you serious? You people couldn't get a better costume for this zombie. Are you people kidding me? So, yeah. Oh, like that book. I was reading it and then, tell me why somebody kidnapped you in the walls. And then when they release you, instead of your eyes to be calling the SWAT team, you're there talking about, oh, I'm not going to let him win. Let him win what? And nobody knows. And he come and kidnap her. And, oh, the book was so piss-taking. It was so bad. And she ended up marrying this man in the walls. Like, that book, I didn't want to finish it. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to finish it. I told my Instagram people, this book I found is so shit. But I'm going to finish for you guys. I come back at review. When I finished the book, I had to use bleach. I felt like I needed to use bleach to forget. Honestly, I forgot half the book. The only person I can remember is it the guy that wanted to marry. I was trying to force her to marry, and she ended up running away and marrying the ghost man. First of all, ew. She ended up marrying the ghost man, and she fell in love with him, of course, and they lived together happily ever after. Other things happen. I'm not going to give you full spoilers. Other things happen in between. But the writing was shit as well. It's not just about the storyline. That particular book had the shittiest writing in this earth. On this earth. Yeah, on this earth. The writing was too bad. Like, some parts I'm reading, I'm like, oh my God. The grammar itself, it gave me Wattpad. Like, I remember the first time I wrote on Wattpad, it was shit. Like, the grammar, it wasn't even the grammar. For me, myself, the writing was just like, you can tell that I have a lot to say, but I just don't know how to express myself. It was not that. The writing was bad. I remember subbing the writing as well. Same thing with this Haunting Adeline that everybody seems to be lost in the source. That book is shit. Like, it's cringe, to say the least. It's something that if my junior sister won't write on Wattpad, like, it's so cringe. Because you're telling me that this guy is fighting sexual trafficking in his community and trying to, like, save girls who have been sexually trafficked, but he's also in the spare time haunting Adeline in her house and bringing her severed hands and watching her sleep and raping her with a fucking gun and humiliating her. How does that make sense? It don't make sense. And even it's the way he does it as well. And she's just sitting down there, oh my God, they're stalking me, but it's cute. Are you serious? Airports don't exist. Write a storyline that is believable. What the fuck? But yeah. Oh, anyways. So yeah, all these things are the reason why I joined the book club, because I'm trying to go back to reading good books. All these romance novels. I said I'm trying to make a career subbing them. Let me know if you can help me. If you want to be my manager. I read fast. I'm good with reviews. I know how to, like, you know, pop off. So if you see a career coming out of that, just email me at tidynigeriangirl@gmail.com. Yeah, but honestly, next year I really want to read, like, good books. I want to go back to reading. Not that the romance novels are not good, though. I've read really nice, cute ones. I told you guys, I've read a lot of nice, really written, good storyline, having you smile, having you blush, having you dream of being married and having a soulmate type books. It's just that, you know, there's a lot out there. Like, when you read other books, if you're the type that used to read round, then you know that there's a whole, you're missing out on a lot. So I want to go back to reading. I remember when I haven't read African literature properly in a while. The last African literature I read was was it Minaret? It was not Minaret. Lyrix Ali. It wasn't that. I haven't forgot. Apart from when we used to do, book club Saturdays, where we read Ben Okri's Famished Wood, apart from that, the last book by an African author I read was Sophia Ilailo's Home Is Not a Country. And I didn't finish, but it was so nice. Like, it's those kind of books that speaks to your soul. If anything, it's very nice, nicely written, thought-provoking, you know, gives you a sense of nostalgia. It makes you miss something that you probably, whether you have it or not, whether you had it or not, it makes you miss something like that. And yeah, it was a really nice book. And you know, the thing about me as well is that I'm a mood reader. So sometimes I start books like that and it's not really the right mood and you just drop it.
And there are times that it just craves something like that. It's like soul food. You know, that book reminds me of a warm, cold day soup. You know, the soup that your mom makes when you're sick. You know, a very hearty soup. So it's not for everyday vibe. One thing, again, I want to do in the next year is to build my library. Way back when, I used to buy books and read, you know. I used to, like, buy a lot of physical copy books. But now I just, you know, turn to subscription sites, Kindle and whatnot, to read. So I think I want to start buying books. Books are not expensive, Omo. Apart from maybe you going to all these, like, Instagram vendors who sell... There are some nice Instagram vendors in Abuja that sell book 1K, 1.5 per copy, per book. And then you get, like, a bundle from them, which is really nice. But if you want to, like, go to a bookshop, let's say you walk into Fasa or something, book is, like, the least I think you can get a book for is, like, 5K downwards. But I found this really nice space. For now, I'm gatekeeping. I'm sorry, but I am. Because I don't need a lot of people there. But I'm going to share it with you guys next year. I just want to gatekeep for a while. I found this nice place in KD where you can just go and read books. They have shit ton of novels. And I'm going to be going there to read. You have to pay to read though. So that's cool. And it has a nice, like, vibe, a nice aesthetic. And I think I'm just going to do that next year. In the book department. So I'm looking forward to that. And like I said a million times already in this podcast episode, I'm really looking forward to reading thought-provoking books again, you know. I think I'm ready to be out of my slum and also write. For those of you guys who don't know, I'm a writer as well. I'm a writer and I haven't really written a lot. I used to do this anthology, my poem, like, I write poems as well. I used to. Now I feel myself having lines in my head, but I just can't be bothered to write them down. And so I went to fix my laptop. I used to have, like, okay, I had like 3 laptops, which I don't know why. I got rid of one. The other one broke, and I'm so sad because it's a really nice laptop. It just, you know, these laptops that you buy and it's just, like, very quick to break. So it fell from a not so high place, and it has just been spiraling out of control over the years. And finally, the screen broke, which, anyways, I'm digressing. But yeah, I'm looking forward to writing back. Oh, I'm looking forward to come back to writing. And, oh, anyways, I'm trying not to do, like, what do you call it? What did I say I was going to do? I'm trying not to do a mini, like, reflection thing. So I'm just going to not, like, talk on that as much. I just want to clear up some things. I realized that just a few minutes ago, I was talking about books and getting books in Fasaha and something. You get books for like 4 or 5, I mean like 4 or 5, 5K above, not below. I don't think, it's been a minute I've been there, but I don't think you can get like a proper novel for less than 4 or 5. I'm sorry. If you want, when next I go there, I can check, but I really doubt it. But in the city, there are different places you can get books. And some places actually sell second-handed books, so it's, like, not that expensive. You can go to Yemi Bookshop, what's the name of this bookshop? Muhammad Bookshop. Mustafa Bookstore. Is it Bookshop? And then there's Destiny Bookshop in town, where you can get, like, used copies of books. And there's some places where you can just pass in town and you see, like, books on the floor in the market. And they are quite cheap as well, so... I really want to build the library. That's one thing I know. I know for sure. Like, by the end of December, I want to see me with a big-ass carton full of books. I really want the books. So, yeah. And then, sometime in the middle of this recording, I took a day break. So, like, there was a day in the gaps. And because I'm so talented, you probably can't tell. And it's not now. It's, yeah, you couldn't tell. So, yeah. Anyways, I took a day's break and I went back to read LJ Shen again. I told you guys, for some reason, I'm just on a LJ Shen binge. So I went back to read and I read Bad Cruise. Nothing more annoying than talking for a long time just to find out that what you're saying was not being recorded. I'm so pissed right now because I've been talking for a while. Anyways, I went back to read Bad Cruise by LJ Shen. It was quite nice. I loved it. The writing was awesome. Everything about the book was nice. It was sweet as well. And it had a lot of, like,
lessons to be learned, believe it or not. And I feel like I'm officially done with my LJ Shen's binge. I don't know if it's because I've read a lot, honestly. I've been reading a lot of LJ Shen, and I really love her writing as an author. And I noticed something about her works. Now, not everybody can embody the character to the level where it shows in writing, and you might not have noticed this except you are on a binge like I was, or except you have read a lot of books by that author. You see, I read LJ Shen's, like, those other pre-books, should I call them that, and those high school ones, because when I finished this one, I wanted to go back and read something that was another one. I was like, why not, let me read another one. But when I went back and I saw the, like, summary of Blood to Dust and Dirty Headlines, I was just over it. And I don't know if it's maybe an age thing, but I find that right now, all these high school romance books, I can't give a shit about it. I'm sorry, it's just, I might be becoming old. Maybe I'm becoming old. I just can't. I can't. That is why I tried to read her, you know, Sinners of Saint series, The Five Vicious Rockers, Scandalous Bane. I might read Bane, but you see the remaining. I think I read one of these other ones, and I was like, oh, God. And that was because, like, the writing itself, at first I was like, oh, is it writing? But it's not the writing, it's actually the characters. When she wrote those books of All Saints High kind of books, that's the high school that those books came from. Kind of. So when she wrote those books, the writing style and everything was quite like, she wrote what I feel like a rich, bratty, cocky, hormonal, horny, pubescent young boy would think like. So I was a bit, like, there are parts where I was, are you serious? Are you, like, I'm rolling my eye. But then, when I went back to read, like, the Boston Belle series and her standalone, now, you see, those ones are more, like, matured. And when I say matured, I'm not talking about smart. I'm talking about the actual mindset of the characters. They are more in line with where I am in my life. I'm sorry, I can't. I feel like there's something about the high school that I'm just... No. I think it's old age, but... Because, you see, in Bad Crews, they were all, like, matured. She's 29, he's 32. They both have jobs, and they have, like, shit to worry about. I feel like I'm more into those kind of books. Not some boy in high school and they want to have a romance during break time. Are you serious? I can appreciate it, but for some reason my brain is not computing. Because when I finished Bad Crews, I was like, okay, let me just go and check. Let me quickly check, what do you call it? Something next for me to read. And I was like, let me just check Blood to Dust and the rest. And I was like, no, I don't think I'm going to be doing this. So yeah. I'm officially done with LJ Shen, and I would give a recommend. When I get the time, I'm going to go to Goodreads and do my job. Give it a proper review. But yeah. And now I am back to... I want to finish Shadow and Bone. You see, talking about books being made into movies. Some weeks ago, I had a talk with a friend of mine, and we're talking about how, like, okay, Purple Hibiscus by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and how she can't wait for it to be made into a movie. Me, I can't wait for it to never be made into a movie, because they will mess it up. Just the way they messed up Is the Half of a Yellow Sun. Not everybody, not every director can successfully turn a book into a movie and not mess on it. You might as well just change it and make it like Bridgerton. You know, like, Bridgerton is not Bridgerton. It's not originally Bridgerton. She, what's her name? What's this rich auntie name? Shonda Rhimes. Yeah, Shonda Rhimes. She changed it and she made it. She still left the Bridgerton storyline a bit, but, like, she tweaked it. Except you're going to tweak it and not say, oh, based on the, like, this is the book and this is, just leave it the way it is, honestly. You mess it up. Books are better anyways. Like, I still read the Bridgerton series. And again, I'm going to toot my horn whenever I get the chance to. So yeah, you know what I'm about to say. I read Bridgerton like 3 years or 2 years before they even thought of making it into a movie. And even when I watch the movie, I still go back to read it, but I'm not pissed at it in the execution. The other things that I was not really for when it started, like the representation and all of them, black and white and Asian people, I really wasn't for that. I wanted it to remain white. Yeah, I said what I said. But watching it and everything, I feel like I'm not pissed anymore is the actual execution by the actors and actresses, and they did such a good job that it has become a favorite of mine. It's just become nice. Although I didn't finish Queen Charlotte, I didn't like it. Yeah, I said what I said again. I did not like it. I didn't like Queen Charlotte. Well, I can appreciate why you guys like it. But all that to say, in my life, only like two books have been turned into movies that I am not pissed at. And the first one is this book by, oh my God, To the Sky Kingdom. Yes, To the Sky Kingdom, which is the book of 10 Miles of Peach Blossom. Now, I'm not going to insult the author by not even calling the author's name. Trust me, I knew the author's name. I have the book. It's one of my favorite books. I watched the movie first. I watched the drama first. It's a Chinese drama. At first, I was not interested in it because I was like, ah, what is this flying things? I watch Korean dramas, but they don't be doing some exaggerated CGI. So, I've been seeing this one on my with the website where I watch, and I was like, ah, okay. This movie that they're always recommending to me, what is it about? So I go and I try to watch it the first time, and I was not having it. The second time, I gave it a try, and I loved it. I didn't do anything with my life again. I literally binge watched it straight, and it was really nice. It's one of the best romance dramas in this lifetime. The love story between should I call her Shishia and Yehua was beautiful. It's a story of soulmates. It's a story of predestined lovers. It's a story of love. It's a story of pain and undying love. Like, see, my heart was hard as stone. When I watched this movie, I was like, yeah, love, maybe it exists in this screen of my laptop. Because I'm telling you, the love story was beautiful. It was so beautiful that I had to Google it. I was like, what is this? I need this drug. What is it? And then I found out that it was a book. Trust me. I Amazoned that shit, right? Like, immediately. The day I finished watching it, I had to buy the book. I bought it on Amazon and it got second day delivery delivered to me so quick in Leicester then. And I read the book and it was beautiful. Although some parts of the book, because it was a translated book from the original, like, book, it was translated, and I feel like I want somebody who maybe read it in Chinese to tell me if some parts were agenda writing, agenda translation, or if it was that. Let me explain. In the movie, the part where the demon clan king got Shishia, when she was training, yeah, and when she and her, this what's disciple, I forgot his number, when they went somewhere that they were not supposed to go, when Shifu Muyon traveled and he left the disciples in Kulum Mountain, and Shishia, that time she was known as, what's even that name that she was known as? Oh, I forgot. I can literally see a blocker in my head. I have a lot of things in my head, so I can't remember. But when Shishia and her disciple, her colleague disciple, decided to go and have fun in town, and the demon clan king came and kidnapped them and took them to have a by force banquet, and said he wants to adopt Shishia's disciple as his child. Now, in the book, it was not like that. It was not adoption. It was homosexualism. So, in the movie, it was like, oh, I want to adopt you. Why won't you allow me to adopt you? Like, you can be my son. Let me adopt you into my house as my son. Meanwhile, in the book, I'm reading, and it's like, oh, you want to do some homosexual to him. So I'm really curious about that part. I wonder what the original Chinese translation was for that part. That's the only thing that I had a problem with in the book, because it was different from the drama. But other than that, let me tell you. The fact that they were able to milk this book into 50-something episodes of Chinese drama And they did it successfully. And let me tell you, it was beautiful. Like, when I watched it first, and then I read it, my life was complete. It was that good. Second, Shadow and Bone. You see, Shadow and Bone, I watched it first. And I have this talent, let me tell you people. When I watch a trailer, I can tell if it's going to be good or not. Like, I just need to watch the trailer one time. So I watched the trailer of this Shadow and Bone, and I could tell that they had no budget, but I was all for it. I was like, what? Come on. And then it came out. And when it came out, I watched it, and it was nice to me. The only problem I think they had is the budget. Now, let me tell you why I appreciate this drama or this series. I appreciate this series because, if you don't know, Shadow and Bone is a trilogy, yeah? Now, by Lia Bardugo. Let me pull up some receipts as I talk. So, Shadow and Bone is this trilogy by Lia Bardugo. Now, in Shadow and Bone series, there are 3 books originally. Listen, I'm wagging my mouth. I hope I'm not talking nonsense. Let me just pull up quickly. Now, the original, the first one is called Shadow and Bone. The second one is Sage and Storm, then Rune and Rising. Let me tell you, people, I read these 3 books in 3 days. It's not small, though. It's not a small book. I read it in the weekend. Because I remember that time I already did a podcast where I talked about this book and I told you guys to read it and people did not listen to me. There was this national waiting meeting, labor union strike in Kaduna, and there was no light and no water and nothing, they do anything, no transportation, not everything was on lockdown. And I couldn't go to work. So, and there was no TV, no laptop, you can't do anything. I was bored. I read. And I started reading this book. I finished it over the weekend. It was that good. Like, I love me some genre. Like, I love me this genre. I geek out about just this genre. I finished everything. Now, it's so good. Because the thing is, when I read it, then the movie came out and I watched it. I didn't get where Matthias and Nina were coming from and Cast Breaker. I was like, these people were not in the book. Did I read the book wrong? And I went back and I flipped pages and I'm like, okay, no, actually, I read the book right. So what happened? Let me tell you what happened. There was another one, Six of Crows and Crooked Kingdom. Now, Six of Crows is where the bastards came from. The Cast Breaker, Nina Matthias, all of them people, Inej and whatnot. They're from Six of Crows. But do you see the genius directing? They mixed the 5 books together to give you Shadow and Bones. Like, oh my God. This is awesome. Like, I'm sorry, but what? What? Lia Bardugo. Yeah, she did that. Now, I'm not going to be rude and not call the publisher because the director. Because what? So instead of them to come back for another series, they decided to cancel it. And I'm just so sad. But finally, I have to go back and read Six of Crows finish and Crooked, this thing. Because I refused to read it before I watched it. Which is unlike me. For me to refuse to read a book before I actually watch the series. But Shadow and Bone is one of those series that you should actually watch it first. You should probably read it first. But like, if you watch it and then you read it, it just makes it like, oh. And the thing is, I wanted to see Nina Matthias fall in love on screen again before I read it. But now that they cancelled this gem, I am going to read it. So I'm just reading, and the author is Israeli-American. Okay. Let me not be a bitch. But yeah. Where is the director? I need to give you people the director name because they did that. I know it's a Netflix show, yeah? And I'm sorry, but like Netflix... See, but that's why you should not be giving your film to Netflix, because when they just put everybody on chopping block and just go for it. By the way, talking about Netflix, after the hour, it's time for you to wrap up. Don't do that again. No, I'm so disappointed in that drama. I don't even know where to start from. Now, the director and writer for Well, the writer is Lia Barduko, Eric Heisser. I'm sorry, I think I butchered that. Director is Lee Toland Krieger, and Mary Z. Almas, Dan Liu, and Jeremy Webb. Y'all they need to buy people drinks because, yeah. See, Shadow and Bone was it. I'm sorry. Like, the genius writing. When I went back to finish, I reread Shadow and Bone, Sage and Storm, and Rune and Rising. Then I went back to start reading, what do you call the name? Six of Crows. When I was reading Six of Crows, I was seeing the movie being played out. All the things I was seeing in the movie that I didn't get started making sense because they are in Six of Crows. You guys, they were in Six of Crows. And see, I love when directors just make me speechless. The intertwining of both five books. Well, I haven't read the last one. I haven't read Second. Oh my god. But yeah, the intertwining of the whole like five series, are you kidding me? Not everybody can do that. That was genius. That's genius writing. That is genius writing. So yeah, if you people haven't already, I think you should read Shadow and Bone. As you can see, I'm so animated about it. Sometimes I just think like this podcast is not visual because people be like, Hickman, to calm down. I'm just so passionate about stuff like this. Okay, let me see. Oh god. Shadow and Bone. So yeah, you guys need to read. And I don't know why people were, well, I get the allure. I feel like in the book I would ship Kerrigan and Lena and Kerrigan. I get shipping them in the book, but in the movie, was there really sexual tension between them? Was there a chemistry? I feel like Lena, her character Lena Starkov, yeah, she tried, but no, it didn't really bang. The chemistry did not really bang from her end. Kerrigan just had to stand there and look and do the smoldering. But, like, I didn't feel the chemistry from her end. I feel like she was in over her head, which can also mean good acting because when she left and went to the capital and met Kerrigan, I understand a young girl being enamored with what Kerrigan symbolizes. He exudes respect, power, and everything, and she was enamored with him, especially since that boy. I don't forget his name. That her boy, that her friend, brother, lover, him, left. So sometimes I feel like bad acting is actually good acting. In a certain level, it can be. Because I feel like she was trying to do the most as an actress. But it makes sense why she was doing the most as a character. If you understand, then you understand. So the whole intertwining of Shadow and Bone, Sage and Storm, Rune and Rising, Six of Crows, and Crooked Kingdom is just epic, and I'm so sorry and I'm so sad that we're not going to see it play out on the big screen, because if you see, but the thing is, the books are happening at the same time. Six of Crows is happening simultaneously as Sage and Storm is kind of happening, if that makes sense. It's different universe, so it's the same universe but different places. Imagine we're doing a movie about, okay, perfect example. You know how we were watching Vampire Diaries, but New Orleans, their life was going on and shit was happening in New Orleans? Remember the graduation when Klaus came and killed all these witches with graduation cap? You know, things were actually happening in New Orleans while they were happening in Vampire Diaries? Okay, imagine that. Vampire Diaries is Shadow and Bone universe, like their angua. Their state is Shadow and Bones, and New Orleans is Six of Crows. So, watching a player on screen is easier than maybe reading the book and starting to look for board to draw out the timeline. So, I think this podcast is already long enough. It's an hour. If you leave me, I will talk about different books and talk about different books and talk about different books. But to round up, another thing I'm going to do into the year that I want to do anyways is read... okay, let me just find it so I pull up with my receipts. House of Dragon. Yeah. You need to read the books in order. George Martin, you know, you need to read the House of Dragon books. And I'm going to read them. And I'm going to read the, what do you call the name of the other one? The one with the Daenerys. Game of Thrones book. Yeah, I'm going to do that. That's the Clash of Kings, Storm of Swords, Feast of Crows. I'm also going to read the Witcher books. Yeah, I had them, but I just had to leave it behind. So I'm going to read them. And I'm also going to read Wheel of Time in order. Like, I feel like I can't wait to read and come back and give you. See, I listened to that episode. I just break it down for you guys. Because what? I'm going to read the Witcher books in order. The Last Wish, Sword of Destiny, Blood of Elves, Time of Contempt, Baptism of Fire, the Tower of Swallows. Yeah, I'm going to do that for you guys. Because if I don't, who will? And Wheel of Time. You see this Wheel of Time, man? This one time I got this book. I got this book and let me open it. Tell me why the book one have like 10,000 pages. I mean 1,000 something pages. I was like, eh? And the starting books. When will I do my life? But yeah, I think I'm going to, it's time. It's time. So the Wheel of Time books I'm going to read. Robert Jordan really tried to give us trust. So New Spring, Eye of the World, The Great Hunt, Dragon Reborn. It's 13 books, I don't know. The Crown of Swords, Path of Daggers, Winter's Heart, Crossroads of Twilight, Knife of Dreams, The Gathering. I love books like this, if you can't already tell. So yeah, this is going to be the end of this episode. I'm sorry that it took a while. I had to take a much needed break. I just had a lot of things going on. And even after this, I'm going to come back for the last episode sometime before the end of the year. Probably going to be in the last day for the poetic relief, I mean poetic effect. I'm going to be doing that with, I don't know, let me not give out my creative thoughts yet, but it's going to be really nice, I promise you that. I don't know if you, I can't promise you like it, but I promise it's going to be nice for my end. And then, like I said earlier, I'm going to take a break. I promised you guys something before the end of this episode. My rap. Yeah, my Spotify rap. I know I promised you guys something by the end of this episode. So, without further ado, let's... Okay, so I'm back quickly. You know how, like, I told you guys I'm a writer? So, in good faith, I would never trash a book that didn't deserve to get trashed. And I do acknowledge a writer's hard work and the dedication and hard work it took them to write a book. So I'm coming here to clarify. I just listened to myself and I heard me sobbing Painted Scars. No, Painted Scars vexed me. Painted Scars by Neval Taj was okay. It was this nonsense Rune Secrets. It's, oh. I said I'm not going to insult the book. I'm just going to come and do 1-2-1-2. So I'm just gone. Anyways, I had to set the record straight. And it's from the Perfectly Imperfect series, and there are 6 books, of which I think I read 4, and they're just, let me not lie, but you see this Painted Scars, why do I keep saying Painted Scars, Rune Secrets, it's a terrible, like, it was a good storyline, there was no, the storyline was good, the smut was terrible, oh my god, but the storyline itself was actually not bad. And I feel like in this particular series by Never Altaj, so far so good, based on the ones I have read. I didn't read all and I'm not really going to. I'm done. But based on the ones I've read, the character here, Luca, he's the only male character, like male lead. Well, apart from his brother, but the only male lead character in her 6 books in this Perfectly Imperfect series that actually is a well-rounded human being. But she had to ruin it with terrible smut. And it seemed as if she didn't have a reason to write this book. Like, she could have carried Luca, put him in another book and delete this draft. Because the book was shit. Like, the storyline was quite shit. He as a character was the only good thing that happened to this book. Him and his brother. And then it was so shit that she had to give it a storyline, which was his amnesia, which came after. She realized that she was writing stupidly. And then she just came and said, oh, okay, how can we save this draft? Let's give him amnesia. I feel like that's the shit what happened. But this particular book was shit. Left for me, she would have carried Luca and carried his brother and took him inside maybe the Patriots cast or something. Swap the main leads and delete this draft. There's no need for these books to have been written. I said I was going to be nice, but I think I actually just went ham. But yeah, this is just a little 1-2-1-2. Bye. Okay, so I'm back and we're going through my rapt for, well, let me see, our rapt for 2023 podcasters edition. So without further ado, let's get into it. Yeah. Okay, so first things first, you guys loved Just Do You Boo, that episode. Like, you guys really, really love that episode. And I'm happy that you do. I'm happy that a lot of you guys listen to the episode. It's actually my top listened to episodes because it's, I feel like it's something that we all go through at some point in our lives, honestly. Especially navigating adulthood when it comes to friendships and acquaintances and how you want to be treated. And you just finally seeing who you are and deciding that this is my vibe and this is the length, wavelength on which I want to live my life. And I'm happy, and I hope that you guys didn't just listen to it, but you guys took in what I said on that episode. That episode was more or less me talking to myself as much as talking to you guys, because honestly, during that time I recorded Just Do You Boo, I was going through it unnecessary, like, headaches in friendships and navigating, like, acquaintances and work relationships and whatnot. And that's the good thing about talking to you guys. I talk to you guys, but I'm also talking to myself. And that episode actually made me heal. So the fact that it is my top listened episode says a lot. And I'm very grateful to you guys for actually listening to that episode. Apparently, I got 200%+ streams on that episode, more than my average episodes. And that's just mad. That's like 293%. That's like 300% more streams on that episode. Also, I just want to say thank you to my new fans. We have 84% more listeners in 2023. That is a lot, you guys. I put in the work, even though my lazy ass was not doing as much as I should have been doing. I feel like I wasn't that consistent, but I tried. I really tried. You guys know me in 2021, 2022. I was a lazy, lazy, lazy girl. But I was like, 2023, you know, I'm just going to put out content. I'm going to be here for you guys as much as I can. Even though I took long breaks, because life happens and I really don't want to fake it to you guys. Remember the time I told you I met this guy on the train and he was asking me how consistent I was and everything? I had to be honest, like, I'm consistent, but there's sometimes I just don't want to talk and I don't want to lie and I just don't want to come and be talking aimlessly. So the fact that you guys talk with me through all of my mood swings and whatnot, I love you guys. Whoop whoop. Okay, so it's 4% of new listeners. Welcome to Missing Super Tired Nigerian Girl. Here we are not, you know, we don't have barriers. We just talk and chill and we don't care about any other thing. And apparently 12% of you guys started listening to me from Just Do You Boo. So yeah, I'm happy for the growth, happy for the health. We're choosing ourselves. So yeah, apparently girl done gone global. Streamed in 4 countries, Nigeria being my top countries with 97% total streams. That's surprising to me, but because in 2021, 2022, I wasn't getting that much views, like streams from Nigeria at all. My streams came from outside the country, more or less. Like UK, some Germany, some Turkey, some Egypt, some Ghana, but not Nigeria as much. But this year, the fact that 97% of my total streams came from Nigeria means a lot to me, because I am here, it's my home base, and I feel like, in as much as I feel like I can't be relatable to the average black young Muslim girl who's trying to navigate life, who has a lot of opinions and don't give two fucks, I feel like a Nigerian, like being able to be relatable to, or like being relatable to Nigerians, just brings me close to home, if that makes sense. So yeah, I'm very grateful.
But now, let's see. You guys have really good taste, apparently. So let's see what you guys are into. Apparently, you people's top genres for podcasts is society and culture, comedy and news. I think I'm funny, but I don't know. News, I do talk about news and annoying things that happen to me in the news, or like annoying things that get to me in the news. And society and culture is what I'm here for. So y'all taste be nice. Secondly, music wise, I think we are the same vibe. Afrobeats, rap, and pop is what you guys are into. I am an eclectic listener, so I listen to a lot of things, but those genres I relate to in any language, so that's apt. And you guys apparently told your friends about me, so that's what Spotify podcast is saying. You guys shared 69% direct link. I love you people so much, because what? Oh my days. 23% Instagram and 8% WhatsApp. I love you all. Thank you so much. Sharing is caring. In fact, my most shared episode was the season finale audio vlog. Are you serious? I think that's the election episode where I took you guys up about, you know, talking about let's go get this vote in and whatnot. And it was quite innovative for me, if I can say so myself. I never heard a lot of people doing audio vlogs. But for me, listening to podcasts and listening to audiobooks and whatnot, I always felt that something that is nice and more intimate is when you can hear somebody. It's not necessarily when you can see me move around my house telling you to get ready with me, but like when you can hear me talk and hum and dance, and you hear like cars passing, and I don't know, I feel like it's more intimate, and I love that. I think I shared the audio that episode, which means a lot to me. Thank you so much. Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's the election episode. My rating was 4.8. But really, you guys don't be rating me like that. People should go to Apple Podcasts and give me some ratings. Why are you doing this? But yeah, I'm so grateful. 4.8 is nice. Thank you so much. I feel the love. I do feel the love. They're asking me if I can feel the love. I feel the love so much. My heart is hot. It's hot, hot. Am I a gardener? Why are they asking me this? Because your podcast saw some nice growth this year. God, I can't. What? Okay, let's start from the beginning. The listeners. Okay, no, I'm going to start from the beginning. So they asked me if I was a gardener, and I'm like, why am I a gardener? Apparently, podcasts are some nice growth. 50% more listeners. Yay. 200% plus more streams. And 114% more followers. And 160% more minutes created. You see, this is group work, and that is why I love you guys so much. And then finally, I'm so happy and I'm so grateful. Honestly, like, I call me happy talking about this and that. I'm wagging my mouth, I'm talking about filters, but I don't know, DJ, I feel like we are a group work. As much as I put out content and talk and ramble and whatnot, if you guys do not listen to me, I'll just be a mad girl talking to myself. So, for that, I'm very grateful. And, yeah. One thing that I would really love, if you guys can indulge me next year, is to... communicate is not the word, but, like, to talk to me. I've said this before. I feel happy. And I feel like I'm being heard as well when I get feedback. Sometimes I'm just rambling. I don't know if you guys like what I'm doing. I don't know if you guys like the creative direction I'm going. Having somebody or having you guys get back to me to give me feedback is nice. To know that, okay, somebody somewhere is listening to me. And for that, I am grateful. And I'll be very happy if you guys can carry me along as well. Talking about growth and whatnot, I have great plans coming next year. So great plans. And I can't wait to start this new journey. I'll just have to take a break in January to get everything set and ready, because next year I want to, inshallah, by the end of December 2024, talking about more wins with you guys. So I'm gonna leave you guys here. This has been nice. solo episode. Today I was full of spirits, and this rap just made me feel so much better. And I wish you guys a very fruitful week ahead and a nice weekend. And y'all hear from me when next y'all hear from me. You know how we do it. Please share, like, subscribe, follow, all them good stuff. If you want to send me emails and stuff, you can do that at tirednigeriangirl@gmail.com. So that is tirednigeriangirl@gmail.com. It's a real email. I know earlier I was talking about sending me something that I'm very serious. It's a legit email. tirednigeriangirl@gmail.com. So until next time, toodles.